Welcome to Mulder Was Right. My name is Curtis. We discuss conspiracy theories and alternative facts. I have a couple buddies here today. They are...
Brandon.
And Marina.
Alrighty, folks. How's everybody doing today? Are we feeling good?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
My life experience is adequate.
An adequate life experience. I mean, we can all hope for that much. What we're going to talk about today, we've spoken a little bit about in the past. I mean, what haven't we spoken about at this point? Almost. It feels like we're starting to really have covered, like, a significant amount of the world's history and, like, speakable content. I think, like, we're pretty much better than, like, Wikipedia at this point in terms of just raw information for
Definitely.
The masses.
Our density of information is on par with, if not greater than, Wikipedia's.
Yes, certainly.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Not only that, we get most of our information from that. So it's really just our new podcast name should just be called Audio Wikipedia.
Audio Wikipedia.
We could also call it the Ouroboros, snake that eats its own tail.
Yes.
Sure.
We read Wikipedia for the reading impaired. So when the aliens come from outer space, our podcast will be what is presented to them to learn about human culture.
That's golden disc.
That's a lot of pressure.
Sent into space.
That's maybe too much pressure.
It's just podcast. What's going to happen. So we've talked about the sky before, though, and we did a whole episode about how the moon is not real. Maybe... Some of you might remember this. Highlights of that episode being a man tried to throw a series of objects at the moon and did not hit the moon with any of them, and thus concluded the moon does not exist. And anyway, a central tenet of that theory is that the moon is a hologram. The sky is falsified in some way. There was one set of videos that I saw while researching that episode that showed like a discrepancy in it zoomed in really close on the moon, and it showed a discrepancy in like this line moving across the moon, almost as if it was like refreshing, like updating for the next frame, you know. And I don't know what he was seeing was a just trick of his recording equipment or whatever, but certainly it looked like there was something there, and that guy was doing something. But we're gonna talk about like some holograms today, and specifically sky type holograms. You might see the title of this episode is Project Bluebeam. We are going to get there in a second. But I want to start off. So in 2015, there were reports that a city somewhere in China, there appeared in the sky this floating city in the clouds almost. And you can look at these pictures, and it really, you can Google like, floating China city, and you will find like images of some clouds, and you look up and it just looks like there's a city floating in the sky. This was like sort of a semi-widely reported, like not by the New York Times or anything, but by like the Inquirer, National Inquirer type websites. They all sort of like hit this trend of there being like a floating city in the sky. Are you looking at it there, Brandon? It looks pretty convincing, right?
Are they sure the city's not just real foggy?
I do not think they are sure of that whatsoever.
Sure it's not just a reflection?
That's also a great question.
There were the common explanation for this was that it was a type of mirage called a Fata Morgana. That's what was generally attributed to this.
That sounds like Latin.
I'm sure it is. I couldn't tell you what it means. But basically, people said it was like a mirage. But if you look at other examples of this type of mirage, it doesn't really fit that criteria. That type of mirage really is something that happens like on the horizon, on the ocean, and you'll see ships kind of look distorted with that type of mirage. Not so much a whole city floating in some clouds. A lot of people attributed this to as a hologram. They didn't think there was really a city floating in the clouds, but conspiracy theorists reported this as like this was the test of some new hologram technology.
Why would they make a public test?
I don't you're right.
Why would it be public?
Why would they just
why wouldn't it be in like the middle of the Atlantic Ocean?
Right.
Or the Yeah, we're like no one would see it except for the people doing the test, if that was a test.
Oh, well, you know, and I guess they could also argue that, well, maybe it wasn't a test. Maybe it was step one of their plan. But of course, yes, that's a fair point. But so this is eerie. It's an eerie image to see. And like I said, it was sort of widely reported. And so... I was looking into this, and there's a lot of other videos on YouTube and throughout the internet about this theme of the sky sort of being a hologram or fictionalized in some way. There's some great YouTube videos of the YouTube channel is named Enslaved by No Media.
Oh my God.
and they produce media.
He produces yeah, media right? Like that does okay. not enslave. Non-enslaving Good. Media. And so he, one of his videos opens up. It's just a nice wintry day, and this is actually pretty recent. He was filming this February 2018. And there's a plane moving across the sky. And he takes his camera. He's apparently got a pretty good lens on his camera, and he zooms in all the way into that plane, and you can read. He gets that plane huge in the frame.
What the fuck?
Like, he zooms way in on this plane. And this plane is flying way up in the sky, you know. And you can see, like, really big Emirates. You know, that's the plane brand company, whatever. Emirates written on the bottom of the plane. And he's saying, like, why can I zoom in so much on this plane? and so... You know, I watched this at first, and I'm like, well, you just have a really good camera, dude. Like, that's why you can zoom so far in on the plane. Anyway, he continues on in the same video. He zooms in. He finds a stop sign that's like 1,000 feet away from him or something. And he zooms all the way in with his camera. And the stop sign's like not that big. And then he zooms out. And then he looks up at the sun. And then he zooms all the way in on his camera, and the sun is enormous. It takes up the way bigger than the whole frame.
Oh no!
And he's saying, "Why can I zoom so close to the sun, but I can't zoom that close to the stop sign that's 1,000 feet away from me?" His thesis seems to be that the sky is actually much closer than we are told.
Much closer than 1,000 feet.
Right, that the sun must be some. I think he's trying to say that it's a hologram.
Sure,
closer than 1,000 feet away from us, and the plane is flying by, and he keeps saying, "There's another one of those faker planes." One of those faker planes.
Like, I have a question.
Yeah.
What does he think happens when you enter a plane?
So he has another video, actually.
Glad you had an answer for that right off.
He's flying to Seattle at some point to visit one of his friends. Sounds like a nice trip. I hope he had a good time. But he's flying, and at some point he's flying over the Missouri River in, like, Montana, I think. Some river. And he takes a picture of this river, and then he opens up Google Earth, and you know you can, and apparently there's a feature in Google Earth where you can sort of like set your altitude for your like viewpoint, and so he finds this exact point in this river, and there's like a turn and like a weird thing in the river, so it's like definitely the same spot in this river. And so he sets the camera to about 30,000 feet, which would be like where a plane would be flying. And he puts it like And he's trying to get the picture to match up with Google Earth, basically. You know, he wants to confirm, like, they're both real. Like, am I getting the view I should be getting? And he can't get them to match. He just can't get them to match up right.
And what are you about to say?
And so what? He decreases the altitude fairly significantly.
No.
And then he can pretty much sort of get them to match. And so here what he's claiming is that now he's claiming that the plane was not flying 30,000 feet high.
Now,
and
wait, Curtis.
Wait.
Yeah. What?
He's using a 3D render of the Earth.
Yes.
Already itself an approximation of distance and space.
You're saying that Google Earth is maybe not a perfect representation
yes,
of the planet?
I am. In fact, so
he agrees with you, but he is claiming that actually the plane is flying much lower than 30,000 feet, and the United States is much smaller than we think it is.
I think he and I have different understandings of Google Earth.
he's holding it to a really high standard here.
Yeah.
If you watch this video, it's, again, one of the videos by Enslaved by No Media. But yeah, and so he straight up says, like, the United States is smaller than we are told it is. You know, for instance, like, if it's, like, 800 miles between two states, he's claiming that it's maybe, like, a fourth of that. And that, you know, planes are flying much lower, the sky is much lower, this is some veil that's being pulled over our heads,
So
and his thesis is that it's sort of like holograms.
Can I ask a logistical question?
Mm-hmm.
Where are the holograms being projected from?
Well, I mean, he would probably say that this is some technology that we're not like let in on.
Okay, all right.
We're not being told about it.
I see.
Wait, hold on. I also have a question.
Yeah.
So you said that all of this is being attributed to holograms, mm-hmm. correct?
Pretty much.
So I'm confused on how, like, you know, X state and Y state are 800 miles apart, but if it's only a fourth of that, like, where's the hologram come in there?
Well, so, like, the hologram
yeah.
is being used in the sky to try to convince us that the sky is much bigger, and therefore that everything else is much bigger too.
I see.
He kind of throws a curveball at me at the end of this random video when he says the United States is actually much smaller than it is. I wasn't expecting that. But
like, sure, whatever, you know, I can attribute, you know, I mean, like, I guess that I can bear with you and say, okay, the sky is a hologram, whatever. We'll just throw you that bone. But I'm confused on where the distances change.
So I think
because that feels like a lot to be able to pull over, you know, someone's eyes there.
I think it's a similar argument that the believers that Finland doesn't exist mm-hmm. that they would make, and that like our equipment is altered. Like, so instead of a fourth of a mile, our car will record a mile. And so basically it's just like a trick of maps that we're like fooled into. It is interesting once you think about it, like it'd be like, well, what if the United States was actually much smaller than we were told? Of course, if you walked that distance, it would still be that distance.
Right.
So it doesn't really matter what number we attribute it to.
Those are my thoughts. Like, anyone that has taken a road trip knows the United States is not a small place.
Right. It still takes forever to get somewhere.
Yes.
So does it matter if that's 800 miles or 4,000 miles?
Right. It
still takes a long time.
It's still something that we imposed on a distance and length. Like, a word is a word is a word. Like, it just...
Yeah, it's a label we've come up with.
Right.
And that's... that's tricky. But part of the idea here is that it is this is some overarching grand conspiracy that's like tricking us at a very fundamental level, not dissimilar from what flat earthers believe.
Right? Can we take a moment and list all the things that people have claimed are not real? that we've covered on the show.
Oh, just so, like we would. So Finland. Like, oh, that requires its own episode that's a lot. Just to make that list.
No, but physically. So Finland.
The moon.
Round Earth.
Astrology.
Astrology. Will we claim? I don't know.
That's not a physical thing.
Yeah, but that's a thing that people claim is real.
I guess I claimed that it wasn't real.
Yeah, I
don't think anyone claimed it was real.
And I agree with you. I wasn't there for that, but
yeah, you did. You listen?
Okay. Anyway. Yeah. So this guy. He's pretty firm that the sky is actually much lower than it is, and that there are like constantly holograms deceiving us. Moving on, there's another YouTube video by someone named John Kokalis, and he is showing some footage of the sun from that like NASA has released, and this is the type of footage where they're like watching solar flares, so it's a heavily distorted image of the sun. And to begin with, like, just so that you can see anything, you really have to like dim it and mess with the contrast.
So
they're trying to, and it's a time lapse footage of like over I don't know how long, some amount of time. So we're seeing the sun sort of like rotating, and we're watching solar flares do their thing. And he actually notices something that is kind of funny. And so we're watching the sun rotate, just like you would assume the Earth rotates, sort of just like on its axis normally. And then like for one frame, the sun does a 360 like the wrong way. Like say you're standing up and turning left and right, like the sun, like you suddenly did a cartwheel. The sun suddenly just does a cartwheel like really quick. And this is his proof that like the sun is a hologram. Because he's showing you, first of all, like, look at this weird flip the sun is doing. It shouldn't be doing that.
Because there was a glitch.
Right, there was a glitch. He's attributing it to a glitch. This was certainly a glitch of some kind.
did scientists come out with an explanation?
I don't know that this was even brought to the attention of anyone at NASA or any scientist.
Yeah, I doubt NASA is watching these videos.
No!
John Kokalis does not have as big of a following as NASA.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, and then he points out actually there's like a dark spot on the film next to the sun, and just before, it's one of those videos where he like is taking you through the footage like bit by bit really slowly, but it's painful because he doesn't know how to do video editing, so he's just like screen capturing him manipulating a YouTube video back and forth, and it's just painful to watch.
Oh no.
And so
his YouTube video.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. His YouTube video is him manipulating a YouTube video.
Oh my god.
Something about being a conspiracy theorist really makes you like not have a lot of technical know-how.
It's true.
So anyway, there's this dark spot. When the sun does its cartwheel, that dark spot doesn't move with it. It doesn't do the cartwheel with it. And that's another piece of evidence that, like, here's some discrepancy here, and it's, like, the sun shouldn't be doing his flip. The video goes on to show some clouds with some weird rainbows in it, which is, like, his proof that the sky is a hologram.
Like, it's too beautiful?
Yeah, it's just looked... There are so many videos on the internet of the sky looking kind of neat, and people are like... This is impossible. This is NASA testing some equipment. This is HARP. This is the world is ending. And it's just like a rainbow. So there's that. And then there's another video of some guy. He's standing on a bridge and he's got his compass out. And he's like, the sun's supposed to be setting in the west, right? And then the sun is setting like almost completely north. And then he points, and then he even says, like, he points west, and he says, like, the sun used to be setting over there. Oh. And like, claiming, like, he knew the sun used to be setting over there.
There's so many ways to mess with a compass.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. but this man is claiming that his, like, that he knows standing from that spot the sun should not be setting where it's setting. And of course, like, throughout different times of the year, the sun, like, wavers north and south in where it's setting, in the, like, winter and summer. And he makes, like, some concession towards that, but he's like, but this is different. But anyway. So, and then there's another YouTube video that's just titled, Who is in Our Skies? And it shows, like, and you know how, like, you look at the, when you're a kid, you look at the clouds and you're like, look at all these shapes in the clouds, mm-hmm. you know, and you're like, oh, I see an elephant. A pretty common theme, right? So this guy saw a skull in the clouds and he's just recording a skull he saw in the clouds.
It's a little upsetting.
Who is in our sky? The Death Eaters.
The Death Eaters. God. Yes.
Harry Potter reference.
You see, I don't think that this is actually, you know, a thing about, you know, holograms in the sky. I think it's just that Death Eaters are real. J.K. Rowling wrote a biography, not a children's book.
Magic is real.
Hey, Brendan. Are you a conspiracy theorist?
Well, I mean, you know, we would be considered that on this podcast.
Oh, I'm not a... Let me be clear. Well, let me be clear right now. I am not a conspiracy theorist.
Well, you know, I think that this podcast kind of turns you into one just slightly.
Huh.
I mean, if you have ever believed in anything that we talked about, you are a conspiracy theorist. If you've ever believed that, you are a conspiracy theorist, even if it's just like something small and, you know, not very, you know, like shocking, but it's not backed by the main story, you are a conspiracy theorist.
Right, of course. And certainly there are such things as real conspiracies.
Right.
That you could
theorize covered them.
About. Yeah, and
we've covered them.
And I'm sure, yeah, we have. I mostly just think about the silly ones.
I mean the silly ones are the ones that are probably the most fun. For instance, the Operation Snow White was a real conspiracy by the definition of conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That happened and we covered it, you know, like 30 years after the fact, after like people went to jail for this.
Yeah.
And, you know, but yeah. When it was happening, that was a conspiracy.
We talked about like Shergar and
Shergar,
all of the weird things that happened there, and there's certainly more questions to be answered with that.
Yeah.
This is all fair, but the reason I asked you that is because you said that Death Eaters might be the reason that the sky was weird.
Oh,
so
yeah. That
I
was
just
terrifying.
I just
yeah,
wanna,
let's go back to that.
I just
I would gladly be pegged as a conspiracy theorist if I can continue to make the joke that Death Eaters are the reason why the holograms are in the sky.
Can I just say I love that a city was seen in the sky, supposedly seen, and people are taking this as something disruptive, potentially scary. It has to be something maniacal.
If I saw that...
I would have thought I was just in a Miyazaki movie, and I would have been freaked.
Yes, 100%.
This is the day my adventure begins.
Delighted. I'd be like, how the fuck do I get up there?
I guess.
Get me a
ladder.
Beam
me away. Yeah.
My parents turned into pigs. Now I have to go to the city in the sky.
I'd be
what
fine
is my
with
life?
That. That's a...
Do you not like your parents?
We're not going to get into
that. Not all parents
they
are
just
good,
said they're
Brendan.
Turned into pigs.
Pigs are great. Some parents need to be pigs.
I would argue that pigs are not great and some parents need to be pigs.
Okay.
Anyway, let's get back
parents.
On topic.
It's
yeah. Yeah. So this guy found a cloud that kind of looked like a skull. I want to point out, it didn't, like most clouds that kind of look like things, it didn't really look like a skull. Not really, but it kind of looked like a skull. When someone said, hey, look at that cloud, it kind of looks like a skull, you could be like, oh yeah, maybe.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Does he think his popcorn ceiling is also a conspiracy?
like seeing things, and you can see a lot of stuff in a popcorn ceiling.
Yes, you can.
I've spent a lot of time staring at. Yeah, actually, now that you pointed that out. But he goes on to say, like, the more you stare at the clouds and look for things like these, the more you see them. Which is just like, of course you do.
Yeah,
like,
right.
When
yeah.
you start looking for pictures in the clouds, you will see them.
Because well,
I
mean, like, there's like a famous picture online that also links to conspiracy theories related to 9/11, and like after the plane crashed, there was like a skull in like the smoke and debris after the plane hit, and like I mean, I feel like you're just like inserting your narrative on what happened,
right?
Right.
Like, who can make smoke turn into a skull? Like, no one can do that.
No.
That's so hard. And the real world doesn't have evil villains that are like, we're going to blow up this building.
No.
Skull explosion.
Wait, I think that'd be a little better.
It would be...
If we had real villains.
But it no, would, if, it's not
if,
real.
If people could be so traumatic that they could...
Yes.
I'm picking up what you are putting down.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes. I'm just saying.
My favorite supervillains were always the one from Captain Planet, who, and they just loved pollution. They would just like inhale smoke and be like, yes, I love this dirty, nasty air.
Did you ever watch Ferngully?
No, I don't know that I ever watched Ferngully.
Ferngully is incredible.
I think you would like it.
Does it have similar villains?
It has a very dirty, dirty villain. That is
like Pigpen from Charlie Brown grew up to be one of these Captain Planet villains.
Yes. Wow.
I mean I'm a fan of like the Batman villains where they all have like a gimmick, and then like Joker and the Riddler are like very similar but they're separate.
Yeah.
like what's up with that?
They are really hard to tell apart.
And no one really gives Riddler the time of day.
I have to.
Well, I mean, it's easy to tell them apart, but like they both have a very similar gimmick, where
it's
like they're both
weird.
Like jokesters.
Yeah. Yes.
Anyway, let's get back on topic.
Though. Wow. Sure.
I agree.
Jim Carrey, like, come on.
Oh sure, but
this man who saw a skull in the sky is also claiming. Holograms to some extent. He's more though. He was more of one of those people that was just like, I don't know what's going on, but something weird. So like hologram enthusiasts will even point to like tests of the technology and in modern culture. Like for instance, Coachella 2012. You all heard of this? What happened at Coachella 2012? Brandon?
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay, so
I know, because we talked about this on the Tupac episode, right?
Yeah.
We had hologram Tupac rapping with like Snoop Dogg and a bunch of other rappers.
Exactly.
But he was on stage in Coachella.
A hologram of Tupac on stage. I'm sure you all remember this.
Sure, I would not have been able to pinpoint the year.
Yeah,
that's all.
I had to look it up. and we did an episode on Tupac. That's why Brandon knows it. But, yeah, they point to this and they're like, see, look at what they can do. They can make Tupac appear on the stage, a dead man, or, you know.
Do you think...
Maybe he's not.
Do you think Hatsune Miku would blow their minds?
Hatsune Miku would blow their minds if... If, like, 50-year-old men on the internet understand the existence of Japan, Hatsune Miku would blow their minds. But people really think a lot of holograms. So my understanding of how holograms work is you have to project them onto something.
Right?
Like, we see holograms in movies, like in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It's just like a floating three-dimensional figure of light. That's not how it works in real life. You have to project light onto an object to get that image, just like a movie projector. Just like how you have a TV screen and not just floating pictures in your home. And so people still kind of think holograms are just magic floating images. But they're not. So Now we're going to talk about the actual, like, this stuff has been going on for a while. So Project Bluebeam is the title of this episode, and this comes from a man named Serge Monast. I may be saying that wrong, but he's a journalist from Quebec, or he was. And he was active sort of around 1994, 1995.
I was 4 years old.
Right. I was born.
This was a while ago.
Yes.
And so this is kind of where a lot of these theories and conspiracies come from, because this has been floating around in the ether for a while. And he had some pretty amazing claims. He has an incredible beard, an incredible conspiracy theorist beard. If you look up Serge
Monast. Oh my
Monast,
God, I forgot. Yes. This man.
Oh my God.
He has a huge, he looks like he's going fishing. He's wearing like a fishing vest and like a long sleeve button up, like forest green shirt. And he has a great beard. And
he also looks like well-kempt, but also a mess.
Yeah.
Which is like a mood. That's like definitely a thing that
right.
conspiracy theorists, I think, can pull off.
He looks
Are
like...
Are you sure?
Yeah. He looks like he has like a room in his house that's just full of papers, but also like all of his DVDs are alphabetized, you know, like,
you know, I appreciate that.
He's very
actually.
Specifically organized.
I really respect that.
What a great description.
But not in his conspiracy room.
Right. Yeah. His conspiracy
although at the same time, I feel like he could pull out a sheet of paper and tell you exactly like if you're like, hey, show me the definition of holograms on the sheet of paper that you have. And he'd be able to find it within, you know, 30 seconds.
Yeah. He's very organized. It's just a mess to us.
Yeah. He's got a system. So he was, he's a journalist from Quebec, in the 70s and 80s. He was also a poet. He has some poetry. I didn't find it.
It's probably
in French. Most of his work is in French.
Huh.
He was like a journalist. And kind of a mild-mannered guy. I don't have a whole lot of information about his life, but not dissimilar from like David Icke, who was like, you know, basically a journalist who then suddenly turned to conspiracy theories. But he in like 1994. He lectured and talked about the theory in the mid 1990s, but in 1994 he sort of wrote his book, which is called basically like Project Bluebeam, and that is like the primary source material for this conspiracy. And it's actually a book that's kind of hard to find nowadays. It was not widely printed. Partially because, you know, it was just a big conspiracy theory that didn't have any proof in it. And copies of it in English are difficult to find.
Did you find one?
I did not. A lot of English readers are resorted to, like, secondhand sources for his book. Like, people who have read his book and then written about it. There's not, as far as I know, like, a really good translation of Project Bluebeam, his book. And so this actually kind of like made the conspiracy harder to spread because like the English language is full of conspiracies. And so like since English readers couldn't read his work, it didn't proliferate as far as say like someone like David Icke's work did. And so that's...
The French, they're not really into conspiracies.
Maybe. I haven't heard of a lot of French conspiracies.
I mean, I've heard of a lot of like, Eiffel Tower conspiracies, but not a whole lot of.
Heard of those. We'll have to talk about those.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I'll get to the point of what Project Bluebeam is and what relevance it has to what we're talking about. So, like a lot of conspiracies, the purpose of Project Blue Beam was to bring about a new world order. Yeah.
This is okay. So the Illuminati.
Can I ask a few more technical questions?
You can ask some technical questions.
Hold on. I want to know exactly what this is before we get into.
So I guess I'm unclear on what they completely think is being projected. Do they think that the sun and the moon are completely not real? They're just a projection.
So the people we've talked about previously generally believe the entire sky is a hologram.
The entire sky.
The whole sky.
They think something is beyond the sky.
They don't know. I imagine they have a similar position that the flat earthers have in regards to like the sky and celestial bodies. Like, we just don't know. Yeah.
So do they think all the ancient texts that we have that reference the sun and the moon and, you know, history, do they think that's all been fabricated within a recent time to support this?
Yeah, the people who believe the moon didn't exist did think that.
Right.
And then there was actually some ridiculous standard for proving that the moon existed.
You have to hit it. That's the standard.
a primary source from before the year 1066 in plain English talking about the moon.
What?
Yes, that was his standard of proof for a historical reference to the moon. Which, like, the modern English language did not exist before
year,
so I don't know how that could ever be proven. It also could not be from like a college or like any sort of like
any sort of group that would potentially fabricate this.
Right, exactly. It just had to like appear.
I dislike that a huge amount. Gargantuan amount.
So that I don't know. These people on YouTube didn't really talk about this. But this is what the people who believe the moon didn't exist talked about.
Okay.
So
I'm just trying to
people are just asking questions, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Project Blue Beam.
They're trying to bring about a new world order.
Another question.
Okay. All right. Yes, Marina. What is your question?
Is Project Blue Beam related to Bluebeard?
Bluebeard. I don't know what Bluebeard is, so okay. No.
That's a pirate.
On. Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
No, that's a story.
Well...
Let's hear what Curtis says, and then we can see. Curtis is very tired.
This conspiracy theory, Project Bluebeam, implicates our old friend NASA.
Implicates.
Yes. NASA is, like in most conspiracy theories, the bad guy here. So... It's broken down into four steps, like the steps in which this project will unfold. And the first step is kind of like innocuous. And it involves, well, I said innocuous, but now I'm going to say the breakdown of all archaeological knowledge. And so this is going to be accomplished by suddenly they're going to find a lot of quote unquote new discoveries that will like re-clarify history. And it will explain to people the error of all fundamental religious doctrines. And so basically it'll like disprove Christianity, Islam, things like that, and be like, oh, look, this is actually not real. And people will throw off their beliefs. They will stop being Christian. They will stop being Muslim.
And this is going to be new information that we're
It's going to be new information. They're going to make some discoveries. And it's going to be like, oh, look, we were wrong the whole time.
That's a common thing that conspiracy theorists believe in, is that soon enough there's going to be some big new information that has been kept from people, and then it's just going to show up, and now people are going to believe it. For instance, the reason why we started this podcast was because I had a coworker who was spouting off conspiracy theories. They were hilarious, and I was like, I need to make a podcast about this because this is incredibly funny. He was like, yeah. And this was like in 2016 before Donald Trump was elected.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, Donald Trump's going to unveil all of this new information that's going to corroborate everything that I'm saying within the first quarter. Well, I haven't really been keeping up too much with things that Donald Trump has corroborated, but this was not one of them.
He was talking about lizard people specifically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, specifically lizard people.
Yeah, he has not...
I mean, to be fair, Donald Trump does sort of look like a man in a lizard in a man's...
Well,
in a man bag.
Well, the whole thing that he was pitching was that this... Donald Trump is not, like, all of the crooked... specifically Democratic politicians that are incredibly crooked, that are like paid off, they're all paid actors, and that Donald Trump was new, he was off the cuff, he was incredibly different, which is very true. He is incredibly different from the majority of the presidents that we've had, at least in recent times, particularly ever, that he was going to unveil all this information because he was different and he was uncorrupt.
It's a fascinating take.
People generally know our stance about Donald Trump on this podcast. So needless to say, he was incredibly wrong. Not heard any of this information from Donald Trump about lizard people.
To be fair.
Anyway, back to...
To be fair, Donald Trump did reveal how many of your neighbors are racist, and that was quite a surprise.
That, yeah.
Not quite a lizard person, but it was like, oh, Bill, oh, you're
that was the big unveil.
Yeah. Interesting.
All of them are lizard people.
Everything you just described is like, goes in line with like Alex Jones's whole following. He loves Donald Trump and is making these claims that Donald Trump will unveil all these truths. However, Alex Jones specifically does not believe in lizard people, and he's gone on record saying he disagrees with David Icke about lizard people.
Oh wow! I'm glad he weighed in on that.
Yeah, so that's an interesting little tidbit there. But this sort of. These new discoveries that I'm talking about will be, falsified new discoveries in Project Bluebeam. They will be supposedly, like, planted by NASA to sort of, like, prep the population for what's coming. As if religious, societies have ever really cared about, like,
Information,
like... I've read somewhere that the Shroud of Turin, which is like supposed to be the shroud like Jesus was wrapped in, has been continuously proven to not be the shroud Jesus was wrapped in.
Right.
No one cares. Like, just no one cares. People
they
still believe
cared.
That it was.
No.
Anyway, so that's step one, and that's just kind of like a preparation. And so that seems like reasonably realistic. Like, someone could do that, right? They could, like, lie and say they discovered some new stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Sure.
Step two involves a gigantic space show.
What?
Go on.
I'm sorry. Space Jam?
Space show. I
space
wish Space
Jam.
Jam.
Space Jam 2.
Come on and slam.
And in step two, gigantic holographic laser projections will be beamed all over the planet, depicting various things. And so this is very dramatic. Okay. This is
I'm really excited.
This is where shit hits the fan.
Yes,
so
great.
So this sounds like, you know, Disney's World of Color, except I can afford it. Because it's free.
It's free. It's a free show for everybody. So what they're going to be showing, and it depends on the culture. And so they're going to be showing, basically tricking people into thinking, like, for instance, they'll be tricking Christians into thinking it's like the second coming of Jesus. They'll be showing, like, God coming down from the heavens and saying, like, hey, everybody, it's the end of the world. And, you know, like, an area that believes in, like, a Hindu religion would see Hindu gods and goddesses, and you know, for all over the world, their various religions
so
would
far,
be satisfied
like
in the imagery.
That's very considerate of them so far.
Yeah. Yes.
You get to see
now,
your own god.
Okay. Yep. That's one word for it. Considerate.
And so this is going to supposedly set off like the population. The population's going to go crazy because they're going to see all these holograms and believing like it's the end of the world, and they're going to like go wild and start like obeying what these images are telling them because mm-hmm. they think it's God speaking to them. And then step three is telepathic electronic two-way communication. It's basically they're gonna speak into people's brains using extremely low frequency waves, also known as ELF waves, which I spoke a lot about on the HARP episode.
I remember this.
And again, people will hear whatever God they believe in their head, and that will be telling them whatever NASA wants them to hear. And so this is, again, prepping people for becoming sort of slaves of society. And then step four has a couple parts. Again, there's just going to be more holograms where they're going to make people think aliens are invading.
That sounds dope.
Don't know why they're bothering with that when they've already seemed to have gotten everybody. they're going to make Christians believe the rapture is about to happen. Again, I thought we already covered that, but this is apparently a part of step four.
I guess the aliens might be there for atheists.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Maybe, yeah. And so Monast is really covering all his bases here.
Yeah.
Basically, what the gist of it all is, all this crazy shit's going to happen. And then the New World Order is going to supplant and create new structures that people can fall in line to. So, for instance, there's going to be a new world religion, a new world government, a new world set of money. They're going to be like, look, the world's going crazy. We need to set up this new system to deal with it all. And that is the system they want to create. And this falls in line with a lot of New World Order conspiracies that they just want to have ultimate control over all of us. And so they're trying to trick us into giving that sort of control. And so this is the mechanism through which they're going to trick us.
Right. It's interesting that whenever you see someone talk about the unification of the world, as in same government, same money, same this, we're all unified and on the same side, it's made out as a bad thing. Because it's not just conspiracy theorists. It's, I've seen it as well in the Bible Belt. I guess you could call it their own conspiracy theory that we're headed towards there, and that itself is indicative of the end of times.
People are scared of globalization.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I don't always understand why, but that's perhaps too broad a topic.
No. Yeah. I agree. I'm a little confused with, you know, that sort of thing. All that being said, you know, I feel like it's more on like the bad thing is that we're all like all of them have like the inclusion of slavery and that we all become slaves. Mm-hmm. Which is definitely not a thing that, you know, I think that most people would be interested in. But, you know, unrelated to that, if we do, you know, create a world government, We Are the World has got to be the anthem, right? It's got to be, like, the world anthem.
Yeah. Apparently. I don't know that song offhand, but I'll give it to you.
Do you not know We Are the World?
Sing it.
Yeah, sing it.
We Are the World.
Go
we
on.
Are the children.
Okay. No.
I'm here for
like, it. Like whatever, like this was a thing that I think happened in like the 80s or 90s, and then it got like revived when there was like the tragedy in I think Haiti or something, where like a bunch of like artists came together and they sang that song. It was a big thing. Mm-hmm. They got they got like a Michael Jackson impersonator to be included in this, or it was the real Michael Jackson from the previous recording. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know why they would have just gotten a Michael Jackson.
Well, no. Michael Jackson was dead at the time. Michael Jackson was dead.
Okay. Well, you said in the 80s.
Well, and then the second time was like in 2012 or something.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I thought you were just acting like if today we just all the artists got together but ignored Beyonce and just got a Beyonce impersonator.
No, look it up. Look it up after this. You'll enjoy it.
Everybody at home, do your homework. Look
Fun
up
fact, what do your we're homework. About. We are the world.
Fun fact, my middle name is my middle name is the name of
we
the,
are
like,
the world.
Jackson impersonator that my family knew before I was born. Wanted to throw that out there.
It's one of the best facts about you, Brandon.
It is. You're right.
That is a pretty good fact. I'm interested.
I don't have much more of a story beyond that. That's it.
Okay. So all this stuff happens, but what's the New World Order going to be like? So Monast had some specifications. Christian children will be kept for human sacrifice or sexual slaves.
Whoa!
Can I...
And prisoners will be used in medical experiments or as living organ banks.
Hasn't that already?
That maybe has already happened. There will be slave labor camps for healthy people. Some people will be re-educated in internment camps. And there will be like an international execution center. I don't know why you need one international execution center. I feel like you could do with like a lot of different branches of the
execution. Well, the whole thing is, why not just have one place to, you know, have your internment camp?
Isn't it
more efficient to ship all of your slaves and people you want to execute to one place from across the world?
It just must smell real bad there.
You just have
one big janitor group. And they just clean up that area.
Is it just
instead of having to hire them out into a bunch of different areas, you know,
when they're bringing the people in, they're like, okay, clean all this up, and then they kill them. And then they bring the new people in, and they clean all it up, and then they kill them.
No, Marina nailed it. The ultimate dystopic notion is that there is just one guy killing everybody, and he can only do them one at a time.
That's
and
the guy.
A backlog of
you
fucking
like, you
people
get there
to
and
murder.
You like get a number, and you're like, "This is your number," and you're like, "Oh shit, I gotta fucking wait around."
They're on 200. I got 20,000.
Wait, hold on. This already exists. This is the prison systems where people sit on death row for years and years and years. This already exists.
That. Yeah, that is a. We're not gonna.
So,
anyway.
Curtis, in this imaginary future that Monast has crafted for us, what follows?
Can I just say, most of this just sounds like history. Like
so,
they're very.
So
they seem very concerned, but like actually.
All this shit has already happened.
Yeah,
and it's awful.
Pretty
You're
much.
Right, buddy.
Yeah, like. Okay, continue.
So That's pretty much Project Bluebeam, and it was all supposed to happen. You know, Monast made predictions about when it would happen. And be
he
like,
put
oh,
a date on it.
It's gonna happen in 96. It's gonna happen in 98. And eventually, he said it was gonna happen in the year 2000.
Never put a date on things.
You never put a date on things, right? Yeah. Of course, that
like
I don't remember any of that
like,
happening. So.
Like even fictional material. Never put a date on things. People get angry at you, just like Back to the Future 2. 2015 passed, where are hoverboards?
Yeah.
Never put a date on things.
So, one funny little tidbit is somehow this theory has a lot in common with a unreleased Star Trek script written by Gene Roddenberry.
This is incredible.
And so which told the story of aliens sending down like a vision of Jesus Christ to program humanity into doing what the aliens wanted.
Damn, Gene, tell us how you really feel.
And but that movie never got made, but actually apparently I haven't read the script, but apparently it has a lot in common with Project Bluebeam. And so even like some other conspiracy theorists were like, what you doing, Monast? Like, did you just read the script and just like say all this was gonna happen?
Sounds good.
That is around the time the new generation, the next generation films were coming out, isn't it?
Yeah.
Huh.
Anyway, Monast like talked about all this. He actually ended up like mysteriously dying in 1996 from like a heart attack, which his supporters like attributed to him being assassinated by, you know, NASA and whatnot. His children were actually taken from him by the state, like kind of taken from him because they were like supposed to be in school, but he was homeschooling them. And so they like, the government came and like put them in school basically. And he attributed this to like the government coming and like, you know, taking his kids from him because he was telling the truth. So that's all a little weird too. Now there is, this all sounds kind of ridiculous, right? And like something that like no one would ever like actually consider doing. And like, no one in the government would ever like formulate a plan sort of similar to this, right?
I feel like there's going to be a but.
Yeah,
be more specific.
Be more specific.
Like, fabricate, no one would ever think about like using holograms to like trick a big group of people into doing what they want.
Okay,
like,
yeah, they use other means. Yes, you're correct. Yeah,
so wrong.
Great. No, wait. Which...
There's the but.
Oh. We're wrong.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me.
So,
has anyone?
In the 1990s, so there was a war in Iraq in the 1990s, like in like 1990, basically, in like 91.
Yeah, right.
Desert Storm?
Desert Storm.
Yes, this sounds right to people?
That is correct, yes.
Okay. So there was a theory floated, and there's like, this is a real thing. There's a Washington Post article from 1999 that you can still access on the internet.
Wow, that is a jank-ass website.
Yes, it is a very old website. And it talks about how there was an idea floated of projecting an image of Allah on the clouds, which would then... and then Allah would say to the people like, surrender, or like overthrow Saddam Hussein.
Oh my god,
things like this.
I've heard of this.
Yes,
it's a real thing that they thought about doing.
Yes, yeah.
That's fucking atrocious.
like,
are you?
Yeah. They tried to project people's god to them.
That's so crazy. I know they didn't do it, but that is crazy.
The idea of using a religious figure to manipulate people is just so not radical. It just is done.
No, I know. It's so...
I mean, projecting onto clouds is pretty extra. Like, like, who pitched that?
Yeah, but this was like for like a military advantage.
Right.
Did we have strong enough projectors at that time?
It also strikes me as someone who doesn't take a religion seriously and is like, well, let's just, you know what I mean?
Right. I know I do.
The reason they didn't try to do this is because...
Yes, what is the great reason they decided not to?
It would be to project a hologram over Baghdad on the order of several hundred feet. They calculated would take a mirror more than a mile square in space, as well as enormous projectors and power sources. So, like, a square mile mirror is what that would require. And so they didn't do it. Because no mirror exists that's that big.
That's absurd.
I've been in my bathroom. My mirror is not that big.
but Curtis, what if we double it? Is it big enough then?
Double it? No, still not.
Triple it?
Not to speak.
All right, that's
like,
all I got.
All of the many ways that would fuck up.
Oh yeah. and then people be like, "Who's projecting something into the clouds?" Like the people in Iraq aren't stupid. They know about projectors.
Right. And there's no way that it would be like clear. There's no way that you could easily see that. It would be just like fuzzy and just like, wait, what is that?
Yeah, there's some light show.
Oh,
going
some weird
on.
Light on the some weird light on the clouds.
Allah,
they wanted to project Allah. The other problem being, you may know this, Allah is never depicted.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
In
also,
Islam,
which is...
it is against the Islam religion to ever depict Allah in any form. So there is no known image of Allah to show people. People wouldn't know what it was. It's not like in the Christian mythology, like God is commonly seen as like a bearded old man.
And we've seen Jesus.
Or Morgan Freeman.
And we've seen Jesus. Yeah, or Morgan Freeman. But
yeah, it's a dicey plan.
It's not a good plan.
It definitely wasn't, and they didn't go through with it.
They did not go through with it.
Okay, so I looked this up real quick because I wanted to know for myself. It says, Allah cannot be captured in an image by human hands. Such is his beauty and grandeur. Grandeur?
Grandeur.
Yeah. So said it right. Basically, they're saying, like, there's no way to simplify the form of God enough to...
Or render it in a recognizable form above Baghdad.
Yeah.
Because he wouldn't be beautiful enough, basically.
Correct.
So what you're saying is the United States government got destroyed by the actual beauty of this being.
The United States could not come up with it. Anything that they would have projected, the people just would have been like, not good enough.
Yeah.
Not 10.
You know, like,
not a dime.
What? Who was pretty big at that time? What, this was like the 1990s? Who was like the big thing? Wasn't like Brad Pitt? What if it was Brad Pitt up in the sky above Baghdad?
That also would have been the mistake. They would have made
overthrow
white.
Your leader. I'm Brad Pitt.
Yeah, we would have.
I mean, I'm Allah, not Brad Pitt.
This is incredibly fucked up. I don't like it.
Yeah, so it's not a good idea.
That's probably like the only time the U.S. government thought of doing something like that, right?
No.
You're right. It's not.
Well, Curtis.
There was also a plan to overthrow Fidel Castro by flying planes over Cuba and projecting not like a hologram, but like as if God was talking to the people of Cuba that like now the second coming is happening and it's time to overthrow Fidel Castro, like, we're Jesus, here we go, let's do this, like with loudspeakers over with airplanes. I don't know how, like, airplanes are pretty loud, so I don't know how you'd get loudspeakers loud enough to be louder than an airplane.
Plus, it's also, you know, sound is directional. It's very directional, just like light. It's directional.
You would have to have a lot of speakers. Like, Cuba's not huge, but Cuba is still a big, massive land that you cannot just cover with a speaker.
You know, I give props to the United States for thinking outside the box, really trying to do those nonviolent solutions. They're just terrible. They're terrible ideas.
Yeah,
that are not practical at all. And, you know, besides, we're the government that, you know, bombed Japan and killed thousands of pedestrians, just people.
Many things. We've civilians. Done many things in addition to that terrible thing. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't come up with the best ideas. The United States don't come up with the best ideas.
Morally questionable.
I don't know if it's morally questionable. I feel like it's just morally wrong. Question.
Yeah, right. Just morally wrong.
We're heading down a dark tunnel. We need a swerve.
But there are those minds.
Where are the cool beings
thinking about those other solutions in our government? And I honestly wish they had more power and that we went forward with more of these plans, because it could only be funny.
Are you sure it can only be funny?
Yeah, it could only be funny to try to project.
It can only be funny.
it could only not be succeed. Funny.
I feel like this was like,
right. Oh wow, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Can we? That's my pitch.
Yeah.
In the next meeting.
Yeah.
Tentacle monster.
I feel like this Pentagon idea occurred by just like them being like, all right, guys, we're losing this battle. We really got to, you know, do something. All right, no stupid ideas, go. And then they came up with stupid ideas. Yeah, only stupid
just pure
ideas.
Brainstorming.
What if they use Hatsune Miku?
Hatsune Miku may be the next plan.
See,
the next
but I don't
government.
Know what problem you're trying to solve. You're just vaguely saying, what if they use Hatsune Miku?
Would you not listen to Hatsune Miku?
I would.
She appeared before you?
I would not. I would go about my day.
A giant Hatsune Miku appears in the sky before
you. I also know about projectors.
Here's the thing. I know they exist.
Hatsune Miku is a nice idea because it is neither xenophobic nor, you know, like, it just, I want to follow her. I want to listen to these beats and I just want to have a good time.
I know, yeah.
And so I'll say yes.
She's a soothing presence.
Yes.
Also, you do know she's a hologram. If someone was like,
she's not hiding it.
If someone came up to you and said, hey, you know that's a hologram, right? You'd be like, yeah, it's Hatsune Miku. That's what she is. Openly a
hologram. There are many closeted holograms, but she is openly a hologram.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what this conspiracy is about. People are claiming they're closeted holograms.
So Curtis, I'm actually just remembering that one of my friends in Santa Fe was talking about how there was this thing that he was really interested in. It was this thing that you could buy from Japan for like $2,000, and it was basically this like alarm clock / companion that basically it's like Alexa, but it's like a hologram like projection. And so it lives in like a similar, like probably like a larger like tube, like Alexa, only it's like see through, and then there's like a an anime girl that then talks to you, and then you can talk to and everything. And he was really interested in getting it, But it like wasn't being projected on anything, like it was completely like a see-through tube.
Yeah, it's contained. And most holograms that work like that. They're like contained.
Yeah, it's all contained.
Did you ever see Blade Runner 2044?
2049.
I have not seen the new Blade Runner.
So basically, like, the main character has one of those, like an Alexa hologram woman that's like in his house. So
it's pretty wild.
Yeah.
She's pretty wild.
She's kind of the best part of that about that movie.
Definitely.
I need to rewatch the first one and then watch that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you could. It's not like super important, but yeah, I did.
I think maybe the failings of most conspiracy theorists is they state something and they expect us to be repulsed by it. But humanity will prove again and again that we're just maybe a little too much into it.
Like we're too willing to believe what people are saying.
No, I mean like...
No, Marina's making a different argument.
I don't know what Marina's saying.
What was that?
We're so into this shit happening in the sky.
Okay.
We just want it to happen.
We just want it to happen. And part of actually what like Serge Manast was saying is that like movies like 2001 A Space Odyssey and like Jurassic Park and things have been prepping us for ridiculous imagery and making us want like ridiculous imagery. And this is also a theme with a lot of conspiracy theories that like common popular movies are prepping us for what's to come so that we can sort of like mentally handle it when it happens.
Here's I mean the thing. I want why do you think Marvel cool movies are popular right sky? Now Thanos is coming.
There's gonna be a real Thanos,
a real Thanos purple guy, and he's gonna get rid of half of us.
I saw some conspiracy about how that already happened.
I think it was called like
half of us are already gone
plague.
The thing is, though, I want all this cool shit to happen in the sky, but I can see through the underpinnings of these philosophies, like the weird right-wing stuff.
Like Serge Manast was definitely like a very conservative Christian who was writing a book for other conservative Christians, you know, from that perspective,
right.
and from a fearful stance, scared of other cultures. Coming in and doing bad things to Christians. Yeah.
It sounds like you just described Alex Jones there.
Yeah. Well, just like Alex Jones.
It's the same. Yeah. So I don't want bad things to happen to Christians, but I also want cool things to happen in the sky. So
yeah.
Just go watch a fireworks show. That's the same thing, right?
No. That's not a hologram.
Can I say real quick that drones have ruined everything forever?
Well, drones are bad.
Because,
you're right.
Because 50 years ago, maybe 50 years ago, if you saw something strange in the sky and it had a certain shape and it was doing a certain thing, you could say that's a UFO. That's definitely aliens. That's not a plane. That's not this. But now, if you see anything in the sky that's kind of, you know, circular, disc-like, bopping around, it's just a drone.
Right. It's like, why is it? It's bopping going around. In a square.
Yeah, it's probably a drone.
Thought there. I was at a festival, and I saw something. I saw a saucer in the sky, and I was so excited, guys. For a solid, like, 2 minutes, I was like, this is it. This is my UFO sighting. And then some people next to me said, oh, someone has a drone.
I'm really sorry that happened to you.
I knew I would never experience magic again. Because drones are real.
Marina, what I want you to do, is look up into the sky and find a skull in the sky and realize that there are real Death Eaters. Therefore, magic exists. Therefore, Harry Potter was a biography, not a work of fiction.
Brendan's next episode.
Now, if Harry Potter was a biography, shouldn't Death Eaters be gone by now? They can't be real anymore.
Wait, yeah, what? But how does that track?
Yeah, but Brendan, you know,
because they were defeated
at the end of Harry Potter.
Are we talking about Death Eaters or the
Death Eaters?
What are the other things?
I don't know.
Oh, you're talking about Dementors. Well, Dementors certainly exist still, because they're like the cops in the prison.
But Brendan, you know, you know for a fact that someone who is, I mean, like literally the story of Harry Potter is like how there are racist wizards.
Nazis?
Yeah.
Like that's literally the story of Harry Potter. So you know that there's someone that didn't show up to this rally, i.e. war versus everyone else. You know that there's someone that didn't show up to that. So there are some closeted people, and one day when you know, someone like you know who becomes in charge of the Ministry of Magic, the people are just going to start showing up again, and people are going to pop open their heads, and they're gonna you know, rally again, and then people are going to be like, you know, make Britain great again, and it's going to be bizarre. It's going to be a bizarre. Yeah,
are you telling me there's a Death Eater out there that's got a tiki torch just waiting to light up?
Yes. But it's not a tiki torch. It's much more threatening.
Well, I don't know if... Okay. Never mind. We don't have to go into that.
Stepping away.
So, yeah. My information is coming to a close about Project Bluebeam and about holograms, but...
tell us what you know about Harry Potter, Curtis.
Not much. But this is still, people still think that NASA and the governments are capable of enormous holograms, are fooling us every day, that the sky is largely fictional. But I do want to talk about, I talked about that city floating in the sky.
Yes, I wanted to go back to that.
At the beginning. According to Snopes.com, this was just fully a fabricated story that never even ever happened. And that video, there's a video of the sky. That image is completely a fabricated image. There's no proof. There are no eyewitnesses. No one can contact anyone who claims to ever have seen that. There's no date it supposedly happened. There's just it happened sometime in, like, 2015. I think, like, even... the city itself is vague, like where it supposedly had happened. But it was just some video someone created on their computer, uploaded it to YouTube, and then it got circulated through, like, conspiracy media.
And we don't know anything specific about this guy. And there's, like,
no specifics. It's just... It just appeared, and like, no one can prove that it ever happened.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like at that time I would feel like I would come forward and be like, no, I created the video. It's fake. You know, I created it on my computer. But I feel like people just wouldn't believe me, and I'd just be like, oh, shit.
Yeah,
it's out there. What did I do?
Seems pretty talented. I mean, if listeners, if you have not seen this, I would recommend Googling it, because it's very beautiful. Like, if you can make that, you should go work on movies.
It doesn't look that. I think it doesn't look that good, but.
Well, but that's
Marina
sort of
is a much more positive person than
that's
me.
That's sort of the point of the video, right? If you're trying to fuck with people, then you make it look just a little off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and this sort of image, like, wouldn't be that hard to fabricate, I think. Like, I don't know. Maybe it would be.
Maybe the idea of a city in the sky has less allure for you than for Marina.
You just want there to be a real city in the sky.
I really do. Always have.
This
in the
looks
sky
like a very depressing
ocean.
City in the sky,
well,
though.
It
does.
Only because,
no, it's very gray.
It's very gorgeous. Gray. It's very gray, though. I'm not speaking to its gorgeousness, right? It's very
well, but
gray.
Part of the grayness, is, like the gorgeous part, part of it being gorgeous is how gray it is.
Okay.
I'm like the Addams Family, you know? It's raining. I'm like, what a beautiful day.
Right.
You know? I like that
same.
Dark shit. Yeah.
Curtis, I'm with you on this one. It's gray. It's a little gross.
You went to Portland once, right? And you, no, Seattle, and you were like, this. It rains so much here.
It did rain a lot in Seattle.
And you didn't
That's
like
not
it?
News. It was, well, I didn't like it because I had to walk through it a lot.
See, my ass would have been out there, no umbrella.
I would have loved being wet all day.
You would not have loved being wet all day.
Yes.
Wet socks.
Yes.
No, Brandon's a huge liar. That's my next episode.
Wet hair, wet
that's,
glasses.
That's a conspiracy
no way.
You're going to follow?
No way.
Brandon is a liar?
Yeah.
Wet okay. glasses are the worst.
Yeah. I don't wear glasses. I don't know. But
you're the only one here.
Well, no one knew that until now.
Now they do.
My next conspiracy. So that's pretty much what I got, folks. That's my topic for today. People think the sky's not real. People think the moon's not real. People think Finland's not real. People think the round earth is not real.
Curtis, are you real?
It's... There are people who think I'm not.
Are there?
People who've never met me.
Oh, well, is that really the same as...
You'd be like, you know Curtis? And they'd be like, no.
But that's different then.
Is Curtis real? And they'd be like, who? Like,
right.
I mean, that's...
That's not a no.
But that's a no if I've ever heard one.
Well, I mean, you know, Curtis could be just a personality that we hired. This could be Chad. Curtis and Chad right. could be the same person.
I could be just a voice that one of you are doing.
Was that a reference to a mobile game? Brendan?
What?
Chat?
Never mind.
I don't think
I misunderstood.
So. I just picked a name.
I misunderstood. Never mind.
Curtis okay. doesn't look like a Chad.
Thank you.
He
That's
does not. That is
the nicest
an accurate
thing
statement.
Anyone's ever said to me.
You're welcome.
Do we have any closing thoughts about everything we've discussed today?
I never want to hear the name Chad again.
Yeah, wow. You know what? Mood. Yeah.
Marina has a very short memory.
I find myself fascinated by the mechanics by which Monast thought the world might come to an end and we would all be enslaved. Though I could... leave the political underpinnings of his thoughts
right
well into the past and keep the cool like multi-ethnic projections. Although that's a little strange. Also, maybe if we just made it a bunch of narwhals in the sky.
Oh, that'd be dope. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was kind of like the idea of the aliens coming down, is that it was a little bit neutral with alien
well
invasions.
But what I'm saying is I'm trying to get away from the notion of
bad
of trying to manipulate the population and actually just give them something nice and wonderful.
Oh, just some nice oh. narwhals in the sky to look at.
Yes.
Great. Excellent.
That's sort of where I'm at with Monast and Project Bluebeam.
That's your critique.
Yeah, fuck like fuck everything he thought except for the cool projections in the sky, and maybe change those to something
you
to different projections.
Those for good.
Yes.
Okay. We'll do that. He's dead. but we'll let him know.
I'm really sorry he had a heart attack, and I'm sorry he felt so scared for his fellow Christians.
He's probably a very scared person.
And I yeah, I'm sorry.
I do want to just, Brendan, submit that Monast be included on the Cult Wars reality show.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yes,
and we'll make a hologram of him appear on the episode.
Man. Oh wow,
so good.
I kind of want to do a whole episode on Cult Wars, and just get a whole episode together and actually pitch it. It obviously won't be as long as our typical episodes because there's not a whole lot of information there. It's all fabricated. I mean, you know, it's not going to be an hour and 20 minutes, which is what we're at right now.
Well,
but
I see it going that long. So,
but like,
wait a sec. So Brendan,
that might be my next episode where we just talk about Cult Wars.
I listened to this Kanye West podcast that is just about determining what the best Kanye West song is. And they take the March Madness bracket and they seed Kanye West songs. And I don't really understand basketball, so I don't know how any of that works. But maybe we should do that for Cult Wars.
Oh, yeah, we should wait. We should wait.
Until we have a bunch.
We should wait for March. We get basically we have, like, you know, a 16-team bracket. And then we just basically just, like, we'll just, like, throw it up on our Twitter or something to where, like, we'll just, like, have votes on, like, who you think would win in a Cult Wars fight, and we'll, like, lay it out on the episode.
Perfect.
And then each episode we'll you know, we'll talk about a real topic, but at the end we'll have, like, an update on, like, what happened last week, who won the voting. All right, next March we know what we're doing.
I got you.
This is the farthest ahead I think we've ever planned.
I remember planning ahead for September last year, but definitely wasn't that far in advance. It was probably about a month in advance. So this definitely takes the cake. Next March, be ready, Cult Wars.
So folks, check us out on Facebook, on Twitter. Send us an email. Hit us up on Facebook. You can message us straight up on Facebook. Some people do that. And let us know your thoughts, other things, comment on our posts. We'd love to hear from you. And all of that fun stuff. Anything else, Brendan?
So our social media, is MWRcast. That's where you can find us. Just Twitter or Facebook, MWRcast. Leave us a review on whatever podcast thing you listen to. I haven't checked in a while how many reviews we have. That apparently helps. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening, folks. All right.
Wake up, sheeple.
Sheeple.
What in the hell happened?